Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
I have never cheered a draw so much. What fight, what character from a 10-man Falkirk side, and that is why we remain invincible. The streak continues, ladies and gentlemen, 34-0. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. I'm John McAnally, and he is the Ginger God of Pod, one-man band in the main stand, the no stranger to a prawn sandwich. It is Ross Wayne, everyone.
Good evening, sir. You good?
I am okay. I missed you yesterday, Ross, because where were you?
Yeah, I was in hospitality.
Yes, you were in hospitality yet again. How many times is that this season, Ross?
I was asked many times yesterday by either club staff members or people who I met, and I think it's between 10 and 12. I'll need to definitively check. In my defence, that includes Stirling away as well.
Right, okay. So you're saying you've been in hospitality more than you've sat in your actual seat this season?
Yeah.
Yes, you have. Jesus, man. Listen, you changed. This podcast has went to your head.
No, listen, I'm going to keep saying in my defence as well. Not all of those were organised by me. Some of them were invited, or it was podcast doing it, so it was it's not all to do with me, but yeah, it was a good day. It was good afternoon. I was there with my father-in-law and our mutual pal Lewis Connolly. Louis, he was hosting at the lounge that we were in, and yeah, we done well.
Oh, there was where Stevie and is it just because it's sold out so much now? You've got Stevie, Allen and Lewis doing it now.
So, you know, the 11 Lounge, which is the Westfield bar.
Have they got the telly working now? Because the last time I was in there, they didn't have the telly working. Right.
Yeah, that's right. You were in there for one of the games.
Yeah,
because you were in hospitality as well.
Yes, I was in hospitality, yes.
Yeah, no, it was good. The TV was working. It was good. Aberdeen versus Celtic that was on the TV. And that was on in the background. But no, that was good. Yep, good.
Excellent. Good to hear. And you're coming to sit in your normal seat for the last game, though.
I'm not in hospitality for
last game. Well done. Fantastic. There you go.
Bye. We're on the park at full time.
True. And it's something I've never done in hospitality when I've been in there before, was the tour, and you never usually do the tour as well. Did you do it this time? I saw.
Absolutely fantastic. I've not done it in so long. Like, it would have been 10 years ago or something the last time. And I was thinking, it's not really, it might not have changed that much, but actually quite a lot has changed down there. Mm. So not only have they got loads of new graphics and stuff on the walls at certain bits, but the changing room obviously looks very, very different to how it did 10 years ago. It looks brilliant. All the players' lockers and stuff like that there, and it all looks great. The inside, the tunnel area is all like brandy, loads of good Falkirk stuff as well. And and the tour guide, you can't not love Murray McIntyre. You just can't not love the guy. 90 years of age, John, and he's still doing his stuff on a match day, and yeah, loving life. And he's obviously not been keeping too well the last couple of years, so but he was a fountain of all knowledge. Honestly recommend it if you're ever going in hospitality. Definitely add on the tour. It starts at 12 o'clock on a match day for a 3 o'clock kickoff, and it takes about 45-50 minutes, and then you go up to your lounge. But honestly, he was brilliant.
Superb. Well, glad you had a good day, Ross, and we'll get into the game and talk about your thoughts on that a bit later on the show. But first of all, thank you very much to the Falkirk football fans in training and the Lava Cup. Now, I believe they're no strangers to hospitality either, and you bumped into them yesterday, Ross.
Yeah, they were sitting right behind me, and they were, yeah, they could tell they'd had a good afternoon prior to the game in terms of the drinks forward. But they were just giving me loads of abuse about the fact that you're lining up loads of ringers for the start of the game in June. But they're all ready for it. They're ready.
Fantastic. Well, talk about, I mean, before we get to the charity match in June against the boys, the Lava Cup's been held at the Falkirk Stadium, 25th of May. Opening ceremony taking place at 11:30. All the charity, all the donations go to Strathcann Hospice and the FDAMH. It's an international tournament from bringing players right across the world, over 40 players, to help people with friendships, improve fitness, mental health, well-being, creating a pathway to change people's lives through football. That's what the Lava Cup does. And if you want to get along to the stadium, the boys would love to see you there. It's happening Saturday, 25th of May, like I say. All the details are on in the link in the bio. That's for the Lava Cup. There is no nudie pictures or only fans for Ross in the bio, though he is thinking about setting one up. But yeah, that's all the details below. Check it out. Head on to the Lava Cup. And we are going to be taking on the Falkirk football fans in training in a game on the 1st of June at the stadium as well. We'll give you all the details, times, because we'd love to get as many Falkirk Daft listeners along to support us and the boys in that game. And like I say, and like Ross says, a couple of celebrity ringers and potentially some former footballers getting lined up for the Falkirk Daft team, as well as I think you can probably say that Sean and Josh from the Falkirk football commentary team will be part of the team. We've made our interest known to the commercial staff, so Graham Carbis, Paddy Haney, Graham Stewart's yet to get back to us, and our CEO Jamie Swinney might be playing for Falkirk Daft as well, as some celebrities who are going to come. And we've got a celebrity manager as well, Ross, on the day. But all these people are all very flaky, so I wouldn't want to get anyone's hopes up.
Turn up's another matter.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want to get anyone, but there are some of my, I've went into the old phone book and I've asked some favours, so we'll see.
Who, like, remember in the 90s when you used to have charity games and it was like such and such 11, this is the Falkirk Daft 11, but we don't want to name any players just in case they don't turn up.
I know, exactly. But do you know what, talking about charity games, it just reminds me of a story. My mate Gary, he used to play for Middlesbrough back in the day. He was a goalkeeper, like he was like third choice, and he didn't go far at the club, and anyway, he turned up into a radio presenter. But he ended up playing a charity match, and remember Gazica Mendieta? Yeah, I think he was World Footballer of the Year or European Player of the Year at one point. And he played for Middlesbrough for like a rough patch. And he stayed in Middlesbrough for a wee while. And he was playing this charity game. And there's Mendieta, this boy who played, like, had won European Footballer of the Year and everything like that. And this basically tatty field in Middlesbrough, just looking around going, what has my life come to here?
That is class.
But it will not be Gazica Mendieta that will be playing for Falkirk Daft. I just say that much.
No, but he's not one of the celebs.
No, he's not one of the celebs, but we might have a couple of former players playing for us, but more details on that. And like I say, the Lava Cup, all the details below as well. Well, Volks Podcast has went down very well, Ross.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant feedback. As soon as it landed, actually, within like an hour of it dropping on Thursday, we were getting loads of messages of people saying, oh, just like how brilliant Will is, how open he was to conversation. And he really, really was. Like, we had to edit a couple of bits, don't we? But otherwise, he was just like, he was absolutely brilliant. And his passion for the club is so, so evident. Yeah. I think we've had, what, nearly 14 or 1500 views on YouTube. I know you've got all the stats for like Apple and Spotify and stuff, but considering we only dropped it on Thursday, absolutely huge numbers, and a massive thank you to everybody who's watched or listened to it.
And if you do want to watch or listen, you haven't done that so far, it is on our podcast feed and on the YouTube channels. So if you want to see Will talking about, you know, basically his time at Falkirk, how he arrived at the club, talking about his teammates, how he's best mates with Sibs, Just you know the whole story, how he's gutted to leave in the end. You know, talking about the Hibs game, the cup final, the Kilmarnock playoff game, and you can just tell how much he loved his time up here. And he, you know, I hope like Sheffield Wednesday can stay in that championship, because you know it will. He, you know, deserves it. And he's talked about going on. He's going doing coaching now and doing his licenses just now. So who knows? He might come back to the Falkirk Stadium in a management capacity. Hopefully, as a player as well. We asked him about that as well. So if you want to hear all the answers to all those questions, get on your podcast feed or on the YouTube channel right now. Do you know what we didn't talk about last week? And just realised that, Ross, the fact that Brad Spencer has extended his contract.
That's true. Yeah, I think we were meant to. Last week, but it was just everything ran away with us. Absolutely brilliant. Like Brad Spencer has just been, I know we use this phrase quite a lot, but like a Rolls Royce player this year, hasn't he? And he's, yeah, I'd imagine he is one of the first names on the team sheet every week for John McGlynn. But the fact that he's extended, and hopefully he's not the last, I'm sure there'll be others who are going to extend as well. Maybe Calvin Miller, that would be great to see him get an extension as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and Finn Yeats was in the Falkirk Herald this week talking about how he wants. I think obviously there's. I think that's been an ongoing conversation with Finn. He said he wants to be here next season. I'm sure the club would love to keep him, and I guess it's just about crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
I saw the videos this today, Sunday, from last night at the Elliott's Player of the Year do, and Brian Stewart. I had everyone singing to Finn Yeats that he needs to sign his contract in the morning.
Brian probably threatened them as well, to be
Probably,
fair.
yeah, probably.
Probably took him aside for at one point. Yeah, the Elliott's Player of the Year and the Cheers Player of the Year were on last night, and I saw a lot of the players out giving it a good kick of the ball. Hendo, Stephen McGinn, Finn Yeats, Brad Spencer, Calvin Miller, the
Big
old
call. Big
Big
call
Cole was out there. I saw him around the video that's going online of Big Cole, and I remember, hey! We'll get into that in a bit. And we've got details coming up. Just stand by. We've got our own player of the year coming up, so we need your help with that. We'll talk to you about that in a minute. We talked about last week on the podcast about this walk, which was organised from, or Charlie and the troops were trying to organise a walk from the steeple down to the ground on Trophy Day. It's off. The council are not boo. The council are not giving us the go-ahead on 4th of May, says Charlie, as we didn't apply 28 days before the event, saying also that as we couldn't give them numbers for attendees, it was impossible to take place. Due to short notice, they were unable to get police to cover on a place for road and crossing safety. So there we go. All the fun buds at the council there have put a kibosh on the walk to the stadium.
It's just. Oh, we could rant, couldn't we? We
We
could
could.
rant.
I can. I'm quite happy to go on the rant about the absolute shambles that is around the stadium just now in terms of getting anywhere, and all the paths are closed off for no fucking reason. Can I just say as well, there is nothing getting done on the paths.
No, I
So
know, I know.
why they can't move the fences just back and just protect the area that they're meant to be doing? And from what I see, there's nothing getting done there at the moment anyway. So I do not understand why. Anyway.
And we shared the video that the club had also put out, which was the diversion. So you just go up towards Hoyle Glen, round Slimannan, and then back down towards the stadium, and that's you, you're golden.
I know, honestly, don't get me started on that. And then yesterday there was an event on at the Helix. You couldn't get parked anywhere. My usual parking space, it was just chaos, the traffic getting into the stadium. Anyway, I'm not going to go on a rant. I don't want to do that. But yeah, the walk is off. Boo.
If we want to gather and walk, just do it. Fuck
I can do it. You dare. Damn the man. Damn the man. Ross is leading the charge, everyone. Ross will be at that steeple with a flag. Follow Ross. He'll take
March
you
on.
down,
March
like
on.
William Wallace of Falkirk.
No, but seriously, what are they going to do? See if a bunch of people decided to walk down.
What are they going to do? What? Damn the man.
The other issue, right, is, and I'm not saying everybody's going to walk down at the same time, but there's 7,000 people or 7,500 people going to this game. The majority will be walking from the town centre. So what's the difference?
Hey, exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. Ross is leading the charge, ladies and gentlemen. I, however, will be in the pub. So you follow Ross, everyone. Ross will be at the steeple 1 o'clock or half on Ross.
I'm not setting this up. I'll be in the grey hotel with you.
Right, okay then. Right, there we go. Right, so there you go. Walk if you want. Right, last week we set up a competition and we have unlicensed Falkirk-based Champions merch. I noticed there was a step up on the old Falkirk Champions merch yesterday as well. But we've got this Sabutio print. You've maybe seen it on our socials. A few people have actually bought it as well from Matthew J. Iwood Design. They've given us a print. It's basically the Championship winning team. All in Sabutio form, looks absolutely smashing. And we asked you, as it's Sabutio, to turn a Falkirk player into a game. Have you thought of one since last week? You were given this challenge. I bet you've
yeah,
not.
No, I have. No,
right,
I have.
Come on, come on. Hit me with it.
You ready?
Yeah.
Hungry, hungry, Hippolyte.
See, you just stole that off the Twitter. Someone said that already.
No, I've not seen that one. If somebody said it.
All right, okay. Right, fine.
I saw a Hippolyte one, but it wasn't that one.
Right, well, okay, Ross. I'll let you off. Very good. Well done. Top of the class, right?
Yeah.
But loads of people got in touch. Thank you to every single person, because I must have had about 20 people said Mark Kerr Plunk, right? It's very good, but after about the 20th time I saw it, I went, all right, okay, another Mark Kerr Plunk. So I'm taking that off the table because so many people said Mark Kerr Plunk. It was very good, but yeah, loads of people. Right, so Ross, you got to judge these. You can decide who the winner is. Okay, I've kind of narrowed it down slightly. Okay, right, so we've got Paul McTavish with Dean Texas Holden. That's good. Martin says Miles Battleship Light.
That's maybe the one I've seen on.
Right, okay. And Pedro Mutin Uno. It's good that, I like that. Brendan's got a few here. Operation Mackie. Operation Mackie. Pictionary Burgoyne. Risk A Cadet. Tom Tayu wants to be a millionaire. It's very good. And he's also doubled down at it. Bob McHugh wants to be a millionaire. And then he's written, Margus Haber, what a lazy, good-for-nothing bastard. No game connection here, just saying. So that's Brendan's options there. Dickie goes for Stuart Burchess, or Stuart Burt guess who? Sammy Con Act 4, or Domino E. Orpha. It's cricket, isn't
oh,
it?
That's three good ones. Yeah, that's Run, old school. I like that.
Runt yeah. House is going for Dragutin Riskic. Right. Barry Sutherland's going for, I think Americans call it four in a row, but he's went for four in a Blaine row. Or old Coventry City loanee. Greg's going for Buck Arumarn Burrell. Right. David Nibbo's going for Tom Tabu Tayu. SB 1876 went Connor Back Salmon. Very good. FFC Mung is going for Dylan Tatris. And Shunter 1876 has got a few here. Darren Barticulate. Kenny Ducards against Humanity. And Michael Hig Dungeons and Dragons. It's no bad. Who are you going for, Ross, out of those?
I think I'm going to go. Was it Dickie? I think he said Stuart Burchess.
Yeah,
Stuart Burr, guess who?
And Sammy Connect for and Domino Yorfa.
I'm going to go with Dickie. I'll go with Dickie.
There we go, Dickie. Congratulations, you win the Sabutio print. Thanks to Matthew J.I. Wood Design. You can check out all his designs, and if you want one for yourself, he's selling them on his website. They're pretty cool. I'm going to get mine framed and put into my. I've told you about my toilet, haven't I?
You sold the one you got for me, have you?
No, I've still got one for you as well. But I've told you about my Falkirk merch. Ross, if you're watching the YouTube version, has always Falkirk Daft merch, and that's his home office, presumably. Ross, is that your home office? Mine's is all relegated into the toilet, right? So I basically got a toilet with all my Falkirk merch and stuff up.
Can you not just put your foot down? Like, I'm saying this quietly because my wife's right.
Like, yeah, okay,
just,
okay.
Can you not put your foot down?
Right, so would your wife let you put, other than this vicinity that you're in just now, your home office, is Falkirk merch allowed anywhere else in the house?
Yes. Yes.
Is it? No, it's not. No, it's not.
That's why I'm whispering.
So
I'm not in the house, but I've got the bar outside.
You have got the bar, so you've got that. By the way, there's a party at Ross's on the May 4th. Just
see if you give my address out on here.
I was chinning him last night going, so May the 4th, right, should we start early? He's like, aye, aye, we'll start early. I said, what about starting at your bar and then we can work our way up the town? He said, let me ask Julian. So, yes, well...
I forgot it was May the 4th. That's Star Wars Day, isn't it?
It is Star Wars Day, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Merch opportunities, Ross. There's merch. We can break both Falkirk FC's merch laws and Lucasfilm as well in one fell swoop. If someone doesn't make a Star Wars-based Falkirk T-shirt for Trophy Day, I'll be very disappointed. A long time ago, oh, that's a great idea. Like the scrolling text on a T-shirt. Right, yeah. Someone, some smarty pants out there will be able to do that. Right, okay.
Just have like a Hamilton second best team in the league.
Right, okay. Let's continue. News-wise, League One Team of the Year. Let's talk about that. Jesus.
Listen, that is the first time I have ever seen a team dominate.
It's the first time it's ever happened. I was in work today in Super Scoreboard. We were doing a Sunday show, so I caught up with Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale and Hugh Keevens, and they were sort of like, what is going on there? And I was like, just we're brilliant, boys. And Hugh Keevens is actually, this is a nightmare. Hugh Keevens has tipped McGuinn for manager of the year, and I'm just like, oh, Hugh, see, when you predict something, it never happens. So bad news, everyone.
He must be in rare shout, though.
He's got to be in rare shout. I mean, you look at, I mean, obviously it gets announced before the Scottish Cup final. You would think if Clermont was to win the Scottish Cup final and do the Cup double, it would probably be his.
Probably. No. Who votes for it? Sorry, is it the media? Is it?
It's PFA, so it'll be the managers themselves who vote now.
Oh well, yeah, but John McGlynn might be in that show.
Yeah.
There's more, it sounds weird, but there's more lower league managers than there is premiership managers. And realistically, how many lower league managers give a shit about Rangers and Celtic?
Yeah, that's true.
They maybe do. I just don't.
Yeah, know. Yeah.
But, yeah. Airdrie boy could be.
Reese McCabe.
If Airdrie, especially if they get through the playoffs, which. I wouldn't write Airdrie off, by the way. And I know
they did get pumped off Partick Thistle. I mean, that's a bit of a psychological blow, isn't it?
I didn't look at the team, so I don't know if they've maybe dropped people or rested players or what have you. I don't know, but I think Airdrie are probably in with a shout as well, as much as any of the rest of them. But yeah, at least McCabe could be in with a shout. You're right, Clermont. I don't think Brendan Rodgers has really got any chance of, I know he could still win the league and the Scottish Cup and stuff like that. I'm just not convinced that he'll win it this year. It's hard. It's not as if Rangers or Celtic have been that convincing.
No.
Most of the league have.
If you go invincible, I mean, it's, you know, I think judging by our research, only I think Rangers, Celtic, and Kilmarnock only played 18 games that season have stayed invincible. So, yeah. You know, Falkirk could be the fourth club to do that. It would be incredible achievement. It doesn't matter what league. I mean, it's big ifs, buts, and maybes. Annan, which we'll get into, is going to be a tough test, as we saw yesterday as well. So
I think it will be. I felt sorry for Ross McKeever.
I know.
I get it. Burrell has scored more goals than him in his position. I do think Ross McKeever's a far better all-round player, though. Like, if you think about the work he's done for Miller and Morrison this year, bringing them into play, bringing balls down, flick-ons and stuff. Burrell, that's not Burrell's game. Burrell is a poacher.
But I mean, the thing is, Burrell scores goals, and you saw again, a poor Cove side. I watched that game against Alloa last night. Fair play to Alloa, and that's a team, you know, I will hopefully speak to the Wasps and Esk guys ahead of the Alloa game. But I was really, you know, a team when Ricey left them, I thought Andy Graham took over, club legend and what have you, but you know how these things normally go. And by the way, what a job he's done. And the boy Bobby Wales, who they got on loan, the boy Taylor Stephen, have been great. I mean, you've got all the usual our boys in there, you know, but he's done a great job in there, I have to say.
No, he has. He's been fantastic for them. And
you'll fancy their chances in the playoffs against Hamilton, by the way.
And so they should.
You'll fancy it.
I don't think there'll be much between them at all, if I'm being honest. I really don't. I can see them doing really, really well in the playoffs.
Yeah. Anyway, Falkirk dominating, you know, you feel sorry for Ross. And actually, I was very surprised, and we love Nicky, but I was very surprised that Nicky got into it, considering the situation we've had with goalkeepers this season. Though, I don't know who else you'd. Gourlay, who plays for Celtic, is a half decent keeper. I've always think he's all right. The Stirling Albion keeper, I've been really quite impressed by him when I've seen him as well.
And I think probably because of our defensive record, John, it probably. You're right, though. Like, how did you look at Sam or Nicky? I've not looked deeply into it, but maybe Nicky's got more clean sheets than Sam.
Sam's got more clean sheets than Nicky.
Sam got more clean sheets than Nicky.
Yeah. Sam's got 9, I think, this season.
Right. Well, there's that theory out of the way. But yeah, it was a toss up between the two of them because they've both been brilliant when they've played.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. Nicky, that wasn't his fault yesterday.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Right, well, so League One team of the year, unbelievable, and well done to all the boys. Absolutely incredible achievement, and like, you won't see that ever again. That's imagine if we'd got all 11, that would have been amazing. But and it's voted for by the players in the league, so there's no fix or anything like that. It's a genuine vote. So incredible achievement. And talking about achievements. Drum roll, it is time for the Falkirk Daft player and goal of the season, ladies and gentlemen. We want you over the next week to nominate your player of the season and your goal of the season, right? Then we're going to take all of your votes, whittle it down to 4, and then on the night of the behind the wall, we will announce who's won Falkirk Daft player of the year and Falkirk Daft goal of the year as well. Ross, let's get the ball rolling on this.
Yep.
Well, we'll start off with goal. What's your goal of the season? The club are obviously running their own one at the moment, but what's your personal goal of the season?
I'm going to go with the one that I voted for on the website, which was Cole's strike against Alloa back in October. Callum has hit so many brilliant goals, right? But it's almost expected of him. And I know that doesn't diminish
it. I get
it,
that. Yeah.
Because Callum's the second one. If I could have had a second vote, it would have been Callum's one against Montrose in the last minute.
I think that'll end up winning it just because it was a massive turning point in the season for us.
I think that will win it. But I'm going to go with Cole for his strike against Alloa because it was just perfect top corner. But it's a centre half that's smashing this ball from that distance. So for me, it was that one. What about you from a goal perspective?
Now, I'm worried. This is going to be sound like I'm doing it for a reason, right?
Annan, by any chance, away?
I want to go for and using the same argument as you did, I'm going to go for Tom Lang's against Annan because the technique. Now, Coles was special, but. You know, and the technique he used, it was a beautiful technique. But for a centre half to control a ball and hit that on the volley into the top bin, for me, it's just, you know,
it's
unbelievable. So I'm going to go for Tom Lang's against them, and I thought it was unbelievable. There was a couple that actually, looking back to it, I cannot believe Dylan Tate didn't make the against Alloa. That team goal we scored against Alloa didn't even make the top 10.
Yeah, no, I can understand that one as well.
It was a phenomenal goal.
It really was. It was an absolute peach. The other one that seems to be kind of getting talked up quite a bit, but I don't think he'll win, was Ethan Ross's goal.
Against Fermanagh again.
That was a peach.
It was quite similar to Tom Lang's as well, and just the type of goal it was as well. Mm-hmm. But I know it was such a sweet strike, Ethan Ross's as well. It really was a cracker. So that's our vote. Listen, we'll put up the wee compilation. We've got a wee compilation we'll put up as well, and you can decide what your goal. But we'll narrow it down to the 4, and then we'll get a proper vote. And like I say, on the night, we will give the goal of a season on the night at behind the wall. Player of the season. Now, I don't want any of us sitting on the fence. Elliot's, by the way, team of the year. No, that's none of this sitting on the fence. I believe Hendo won them Cheers player of the year. So well done, Big Hendo. Yeah. That's great. I mean, for all the amazing players and for Hendo to walk away. And obviously the club have got their own recognition awards on Tuesday as well, which is voted for by the players. Who is your player of the season?
And it'll be a popular word. For me, I think it has to be Callum Morrison.
Yeah.
He's just Yeah, he's dug us out a hole a few times this season, and he's just been phenomenal. And it looks like he's in with a shout of being the top scorer in the full four divisions, which would be outstanding as well.
Yeah, I can't see beyond Cal. And see, yesterday it proved it to me. I thought down to 10 men, we still looked, and he still looked like he could score. You know, and he, you know, at any point that time when he kind of cut in,
That's it.
you just think, you know, he in fact he is top scorer in the SPFL is a phenomenal achievement for a winger, not a striker. We're talking about someone who plays in the right wing. So I can't look beyond Cal as well. As much, you know, as much as I could sit here and say Brad Spencer, Aidan Nesbitt, by the way, we'll talk about him in a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Aidan, and obviously Tom, Cole as well, Brad. I mean, they've all been brilliant. Hendo. I mean, that's why these boys are all in the League One Player of the Year. But yeah, no, I can't look. I honestly can't look beyond Callum Morrison. You know, there you go. So, Callum Morrison for me as well. But it's not up to me and Ross. It's up to you, Falkirk DAF listeners. Let us know your Player of the Year on socials. Like I say, we'll narrow it down to four. We'll get the vote, and then we'll see who wins our Falkirk DAF Player of the Year, which we'll give on the night at Behind the Wall. So there you go. Oh, right, that's us done. So let's get into the game against Kelty yesterday, and we're doing it in the company of our guest pundit, as always, and it's two for the price of one, Ross, as we welcome Malky and Leila. How you doing, guys?
Hello,
Hey.
hello, Hi.
Hi, there we
How are
go.
you both?
I love this family kind of time that we're getting. We've had mother and son, we've had father and daughter now. It's nice. I like it. I like it a lot. How you doing, guys? Right, we're going to ask you the questions that we always ask, and I think there's going to be two very different answers to this question. First of all, Malky, we'll start with you. What was your first Bairns game in memory?
First Bears game, I think I was about 6 or 7. My dad took me to a game against the Shire at Brockville, and I don't remember much. I do remember the ball getting booted out of the ground, which I was very impressed by. But I wasn't going to games regularly after that until I started 1986, which was the year Falkirk came into the Premier Division. So, unusually for a Falkirk fan, I was probably a bounty hunter at that point. And just for going semi-regular, starting going to away games and things, just had the bug ever since, eh? So,
Yeah.
A lot of great times, a lot of years. And fortunately for the likes of Leila, I know we've got a fantastic setup.
Yeah, and Leila won't
The
know
carpets
anything
are going
about
very well,
Brockville.
so.
She'll know it as Morrison's now.
Aye, Morrison's.
Yeah. And you'll have to tell her stories of Brockville. Leila, what was your first game? Do you remember it?
Yeah, my first like proper game was actually Kelty last season.
Brilliant, excellent. What
And
was
you got the bug from that, did you?
Yeah.
Oh wow, fantastic.
Excellent.
And who's your favourite player, Leila?
Probably Callum Morrison.
Almost not Tom Lang, no.
I like him as well.
Yeah, I like him. I like him as well. What are you, Malky? Who's your favourite all-timer?
Well, obviously, you're excluding the Holy Trinity. I'm going to plump for a guy I really enjoyed watching, Dermot Williams.
Oh,
Derek.
Yeah. Superb.
We signed him 5 grand for Dundee, which was a no bad bit of business for the what we got out of him. So, aye, top guy as well. So, aye, he could
Choice.
have played in just about
Choice.
any Falkirk team I've seen. Aye,
Yeah. I think that's the first time anyone said Derek McWilliams as well, and completely underrated player, you know, and you know, had a great career at Falkirk. You know, he played for obviously a lot of other clubs, but just he was a standout in that Falkirk side.
Nah, I could anywhere at the left. I remember the number of games I'm playing at left back and obviously left wing, just aye. Left side about 2 footed dives. Crack player.
Yeah, that's it. You didn't know whether he was going to cut in, head to the byline as well, but no, brilliant player.
Yeah. And you feeling a wee bit rough for where you were at the Elliot's Player of the Year last night, were you, Malky?
No, not too bad. I wasn't too bad last night. I just went down. I didn't have a beer before the game or anything. It was with Leila. Phew. And the Graham, and just smoked my way back up the road. I was home about 11 or something, so
Oh,
not too
fair.
bad.
Looked like a good night, and it wasn't a Player of the Year this year. It was a Team of the Year. We were just saying, come on, boys, get off the fence.
I was on his touch. I think just the award going out the whole team. I
Yeah.
was Brian Stewart on good form last night, Malky?
He was very good form. I think the the BAFTAs or the Oscars is missing a trick. No getting Brian in.
Move over, Ricky Gervais. Here comes Brian Stewart.
Just say Brian's Brian, and that's all there is to it.
So to be fair, if Ricky Gervais can offend like a huge number of the population, Brian can do that.
This is very true. This is very true. And I love the fact that just Brian doesn't even need a mic. There's no mic or PA in here. It's just Brian shouting at everyone. Love it. Absolutely love it. So there you go. Team of the year. And it looked like a cracking night because it did highlights, it did cheers as well. So that looked great. Right. So let's get into the game then, shall we? One change for the Bairns, Leo McCann dropped to the bench, but not for long, as Liam Henderson came out to get a run out, meaning Sean Mackey moved into left back. But as I say, it wasn't for long, Ross.
No, it wasn't.
Before it all changed, though, we had actually went 1-0 up, which was in the 8th minute, which is great.
Yeah, it was a good start. The team selection, yeah, it didn't feel like anything too...
No, I think as we've kind of spoke about, I think he's looking to move Sean, see if he can do a job at left back, because we all know that Sean Mackey is probably still one of those ones that's playing for a contract. And over the last month and a half, he's been, I think, really, really good. Do you think he's worth a contract, Leon Mackey?
I would say yes, based on what he's shown in the past few games. He's really grabbed his... He's kind of won me over. He's no slouch over the ground. I was wondering, you know, is it, I can get a bit of dig. So I,
yeah, I think, and we've talked about it before, Ross, is the fact that he's utility. It means he can cover both centre half and left back. So you're getting, it's like 2-for-1. You're getting a player the 2-for-1. I think that's probably why John put him out there yesterday.
Absolutely, yeah. He is very, very versatile, and he's hungry to do well as well. You can see it in every pass, every tackle, every block. It'll be interesting to see if he does get a contract. Actually, I agree with you. I think in the championship he'd still. I don't know if he'd be a starter.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that, but I think for someone having the bench to come on at centre half, come on at left back, he covers both those positions, like without having to go out necessarily by a straight left back or an our centre half, you know.
No, absolutely, and obviously he is versatile, as we saw yesterday, because he had to shift about within the first 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah, before he had to shift about, though, we actually scored the goal. Cal Morrison, again, like you say, Ross, off the fire in the 8th minute, you know, we came out the traps flying again yesterday, as Falkirk teams have done this season, in a goal in the first 10 minutes yet again. I'd love to know the stats of how many goals we've scored in that first 10-minute spell, because I think as a Falkirk supporter, this is the most I've ever seen in a season. Cal Morrison hit a shot, keeper couldn't deal with it, Cal Morrison's just there to knock in the rebound. Happy days.
Yeah, no, it really was. And you just felt at that point, like, will it be a high-scoring game for us? Because you score that early, as we have done loads of times, and we just kick on. But it wasn't to be.
It wasn't, because in the 17th minute, you'll see if you're watching the YouTube version, this happened. And that is Colin Donaldson going in for a 50-50 ball, winning the ball, but also kicking Alfie Babbage fresh off the ground. And you could hear that. You could absolutely hear that. On first view of it, Malky and Layla, was it a sending off?
I think it was.
I wasn't sure, but when I think about it, if I'd been the other way, I think I'd have been shouting for a red card, definitely. Aye. So there didn't seem to be too much protest. I mean, obviously.
I was up off my seat. What is that referee? He's won the ball. I mean, he did win the ball, in fairness to him. He also, like, just about kicked Alfie Babbage into Mars in orbit. But yeah, he did win the ball, in fairness to him, Ross.
He did. And do you know, in Cole's defence as well, the boy shot right up as soon as, like, it's not as if he was down and then had to be, like, carried off. He was pretty sprightly up on his feet. I don't think there was much.
No, I think there was quite a bit of time when he was down there.
I think he's made the most of it.
He did it. For all the wrestling fans that listen to this podcast, it was reminiscent of what we call the brogue kick from Sheamus. This is going to go above everyone's head, apart from a few chosen people, listen to Falkirk Daft, who know wrestling. Sheamus, the wrestler, the Irish wrestler, does a move called the Bro Kick, and that's what it looks like behind me. It was an incredible bit of work. And it was just the shout, you could hear Baffa just going, ah! Because it was absolutely... I got off my seat going, I can't believe that. He's won the ball. It's a 50-50 ball. He's went for it. But you can't do that. I'm sorry, Cole. You can't do that. Right. He knew it. I think, and yes, I did see... When I was going up for my half-time cup of coffee, I walked past the Falkirk TV guys and I shouted over to Sean. I said, was that a red card? He said, absolutely. So there was no doubt. I don't think that it wasn't a red card. But the one thing you've got to feel absolutely gutted for, a guy who has been ever-present on that side, he's now suspended for 2 games, which means on trophy day, he's going to have to do a John Terry.
And I'm happy for him to do that, absolutely.
He's going to have to do a John Terry and get the strip on and go out and lift the cup. Because I'm presuming it is going to be a joint lift, Stephen and Cole, that will lift it. Or maybe now Cole's suspended and he might well want to do the John Terry, but he deserves to do the John Terry, Cole. Yeah. Are we all for the John Terry?
Come in there, aye.
Yeah, get stripped, Call. Get out there in that park and lift that.
Is it definitely a 2-game ban? Is that sort of like a violent conduct offence?
Violent conduct, so it'll be a 2-game. Unless, no, see if the cop even appealed it, which I don't think they've got much of an appeal. It would be maybe suspended. It would cost them money to appeal it.
The other issue with the appeal is, if you listen to the highlights, the Falkirk TV guys were like, oh, that's a shocker.
have you got, and there wasn't this podcast where I spoke to Sean and said, absolutely, it was a red card. Yeah, there's not much case to answer for. So, yeah, unfortunately, I think Cole's going to have to do the John Terry.
It might free him up for the behind the wall night on Friday the 3rd, though.
Every cloud, Ross, every cloud. Him and Big Tam strolling out and behind the wall for the event. That'd be not bad. Mm-hmm. But we'll find out who's coming along to that event. But no, I felt gutted. Honestly, you feel so sorry for Cole that's happened. And But gutted for him. But anyway, that was us down to 10 men and going, oh no, this is, you know, you get at 17 minutes, you know, if it happens in the last 10 minutes, the last 20 minutes is kind of sending off 10 to happen, it's all right, but you think, God, we've got about 80 minutes to play here and protect this invincible run. And it didn't take long for Kelty to find a way in. I mean, we did have Hendo in between, you know, maybe we'd have thought he should have scored from that corner, which Ross McKeever kind of got a flick onto, but their goal, oh my God, I'm having horror. What were they doing? Can Malky, Layla, explain to me what happens with the own goal?
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
I think sometimes when they're encouraged like to play out for the back, you're just going to get moments like that now and again, eh? But it's like so bad.
We did have three. We could have had 3 occasions where they could have just launched it up the park.
Mm-hmm.
At least 3. I don't think Nicky's at blame here.
Oh, Nicky's not to blame. Absolutely no chance.
There's people on social media saying, "Oh, I should have been standing more central," and they're like, it wasn't his fault in this scenario.
I know Leon's been desperate to get a goal and getting his name on the sheet, but Leon, that wasn't the way to do it, son. That wasn't the way to do it.
What did the announcer give? I never heard at the time. Did he say own goal or what did he say?
I don't know. I missed what the announcer, it was Stuart that was doing it yesterday, and I missed what he said. Scorer for Kelty, Leon McCann. I don't think he said that, but it was an absolute nightmare. I mean, Jim Holmes against Airdrie, it kind of was reminiscent of that. Best own goal you've seen scored for Falkirk? Did Ricey not score a diving header?
I was a way to say, Ricey in the mid-90s scored like a really good diving header that went into the top corner. Unfortunately, it was an own goal, as we know, but yeah.
But honestly, what a shocker Lyon's had. What an absolute shocker. I mean, like, I was shouting at the time, when you're down to 10 men, there's a time and a place for passing it around the back, right? And when you're down to 10 men, just settle the game down. Just settle into a rhythm, find your shape, get a feeling for the playing for 10 men. But do not pass it into your own net. It's like, Jesus. I just saw it, I just went, oh no.
It's even worse when you watch it back.
It gets worse and worse every time you see it. What was your initial reaction, guys?
I just thought we were a bit frantic after the red card up to half time,
Aye.
and that was just the sort of start of it when that went in. And then, obviously, we were still looking good going forward, and we got the second, and then we couldn't even see that out for what, 2 3 minutes. And it was, I was really glad they got in level at half time, put it that way, because I thought for there we were able to maybe regroup. And then as the second half wore on, I was more confident we were going to get the draw, if not score, maybe even get the 3 points here,
Because I
but.
mean, what didn't take long. I mean, we settled it after we had our calamity moment at the back. We pushed on, and didn't look like we had 10 men on the park. We pushed on. Shout out for the second goal, by the way. Ross McKeever did brilliant, absolutely brilliant out there in the wing to hold it up. And Dylan Tate, God, I wish we can keep Will and Dylan Tate. Just he was so all over the place. Him and Nesbitt yesterday were unbelievable. They made up for that lack of man, and they were all over the place. But Dylan Tate, just looked up, shifted it out to the right, and there's Callum Morrison to fire at home and obviously keep going in his quest to become the top scorer in the SPFL. But it was a great move, and it was brilliant work from both Ross McKeever and Dylan Tate.
And McKeever put in a brilliant shift yesterday, I thought. And well, you mentioned this bit as well, definitely. I covered up
Brilliant,
quite well.
brilliant team goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. Like we were talking about earlier, we've scored so many good team goals this season, Ross. When you look at our goal of the season contenders, there's so many that have been great passing moves. But that was all about Ross McKeever, and we've said that, his work rate, what he does off the ball, his hold up play, and then Dylan Tate, just awareness, and then Callum Morrison. We know what Callum Morrison does, so back of the net it goes. And great to see Callum, after a dry patch of 2 games, he's back on the score sheet again, and pushing towards becoming the top scorer in the leagues. But again, we couldn't hold the lead, and just what you're just looking at that point where okay boys, that's it, that's the game, just see the game out, wait, get to half time. Organised like they did at half time into the kind of four, banks of four, and then the one, and we'll see this game out, boom. But we just couldn't hold our water, we really couldn't. And like that second goal, what was defensively, and I don't think I actually particularly blame the centre backs. Don't put the blame on Hendo or Sean. It's the midfield, like, not getting back. And we know Reece Lyon is probably one of the best midfielders in the division. In fact, a player I wouldn't mind. See if Dylan Tate does not sign, I tell you what, it would be far worse than getting him. But he strolls forward, and what a great finish from him, to be fair.
It was a really nice finish, really nice finish. And again, Nicky, I'm not convinced could have done any more. He got down really, really
No.
quick. It was just the right perfect angle, and then in off the
It,
post, just
yeah,
hammered.
like it was just postage stamp in terms of hitting that bottom corner. I mean, I don't think I blame Nicky for that. He got down fast enough, but I certainly blame the midfield for not tracking that run.
Yeah, no. Totally agree, Malky. I don't know if you, because you're in the Kevin McAllister stand. I know. What was your take on the sort of positioning from your side there?
I didn't agree with Jeremy. Just looked a bit sloppy in the move, and then he's taking it really well. I mean, he's not even, I wouldn't even say even blasted it, he just guided it right into that corner, and it was just like frustrating, but fair play. It was a good finish. Seemed to enjoy it. He had a good run behind the goals towards us.
Yeah.
I noticed that as well, actually. And he's not had like
That
any beef
as
with
well,
us before, is it? That was a
yeah,
bit
he
of a.
did play for Morton, however. Morton, we know, got
Oh,
beef with
right.
us. I mean, I am amazed that he's playing at a part-time level, though. I'm amazed that he's playing. I think from what I heard, the like Morton let him go last season. I think there might have been something with Imrie, and I know that Hamilton were sniffing about him in January, and there was apparently it was a done deal, and I don't know what's happened, but I don't know what his contract situation is at Kelty. And if we don't get Tate, I would certainly, and I'm sure, he's one of the best players in the division. without a doubt, and I would certainly be chapping his door.
Do we think he's good enough to be a starter in the Championship?
He certainly did it with Morton Ross. He said, you know, can't he be shy of 100 games for Morton? So he's done it at that level before, and I think he was a bit of a player in that Morton side until, you know, he's been let go for one reason or the other, but I think he's worth keeping an eye on. You know, he's only 23 as well.
That's a good age then. So yeah, listen, I think we all trust John's judgment now, and if it's a player he's keeping an eye on, then we'll see. But yeah, I don't know what, as you say, it's maybe the Morton connection. That's maybe why he's gave the fans a bit of stick yesterday.
Yeah, it was a good goal from him. 2-2 it was, and then it was really getting into that half-time, just, you know, protecting that and reorganising it, which we did, because we came out that second half and we kind of reorganised it, putting Nesbitt out to the left and going kind of two banks of four were just the one up top. You know, could we have... I mean, that second half, we didn't have many chances to speak of. I think it was just like, it was just a real fighting performance, though, Ross.
It was, yeah. We had a couple of half chances, mostly through Callum Morrison, who, yeah, as you mentioned earlier on, was just absolutely outstanding for the full game. He probably gave Nesbitt a close run for man of the match, but
when he cut inside, and you just think Callum Morrison doing Callum Morrison things, but you know, it just. He was looked like if we were going to get any other goal, it was going to come from Callum Morrison. Because I thought, you know, Ross ran his race very quickly yesterday. I thought I was shouting a lot for like Ross to get off because he looked like he was blowing yesterday.
And Shanley came on and did okay. He did. He was running about. Put his shift in as well when he did come on. I just think, and Malky will chip in here as well, but I just think. We've seen Falkirk so much this year as being the offensive team, but actually that second half performance, it's up there with one of our better performances from a tactical perspective.
Aye, by and because that's a game where we've not had the control we've had, like especially in the recent games where we've just like steamrolled teams. And it wasn't a day for that yesterday, but they showed that side, and fair play for that.
I mean, it was a really impressive defensive play, and the work rate. Like, let's talk about Aidan Nesbitt and the performance he put in yesterday. He, you know, John McGlynn's talked about his stats, you know, and I think it was Paul Smith said about, you know, he does 12, 13 kilometres. He must have done about 50 kilometres yesterday. He was all over that park. And as we were talking about earlier on, like, the last, I think since the turn of the year, I think Aidan Nesbitt's been absolutely incredible. And any other, like we see with a lot of the players, in any other season, he is player of the season without a doubt. He's been unbelievable. And, you know, we all know, we've talked about in this podcast so many times about Aidan Nesbitt, about how he's the wee teacher's pet and all that. And as I've said, you can see why, when it comes to a game like that, when you're up against it, he is the player that you want to have in your team because he just runs and runs and runs and he runs a little bit more and he runs a little bit more and he just keeps running and running and running and he just runs. And tackles and works hard and does everything you want a footballer to do.
It's true. No, it was interesting because Wee Lewis was interviewing him in the lounge after the game. And
can he speak?
Well, weirdly, right? So Lewis says to him, you must, like, after I put
you must be
you must be knackered. And Nesbitt went, no, I feel all right because I got taken off for 50 minutes ago, remember? So he was like, I'm not knackered at all. His opinion was the same as what we've just said, though, is they've practiced being a man down in training. And this just goes to show the level of detail that John McGlynn has obviously worked on in the background. Because, and you think, oh, well, that's fine. We have not, I think, when was the last time we had a man sent off? Was it July?
Brad Spencer. I was working this out yesterday. Brad Spencer against Partick Thistle, right at the start of the season.
Realistically, it's probably something that they've obviously worked on, but how often I don't know. But it just shows you how well that actually did work yesterday.
No, it was really impressive. I tell you what was also impressive as well. I love a tackle. I love to see Finn Yeats' tackle when he went boom, Like the guy was going through it and Finn just tracked back and you think, oh, he's got to get this right. He's got to get this right. And he just took the ball and put it out for a corner. And from that resulting corner, let's just talk about Dylan's take clearance off the line. Oh my word. How has he kept that out? Because the corner came, Finn did that and you're like, oh, amazing. And you could just feel it. Kelty were really pushing on us at that point, and the corner comes in, and they've scored. But Dylan Tate has kept out, and I don't know how he's managed to keep out. I don't know if you guys have watched it back on Falkirk TV, but I'm just like, wow.
I watched that game this morning, and you're right. I think they hit the bar as well,
second half. Yeah, Alfie Babbage hit the bar as well, not long after. In fact, it was a minute after Dylan Tate basically spidered it. I believe that's the term I'm using, because it was like it was going in, it's like he's caught it with both his legs, kind of turned around and then cleared it away.
They had a lot of possession in the second half. I don't know what the stats were half.
Get them just now, but yeah, there was a lot of possession from Kelty, but it was incredible. And like Malky, you say there, Alfie Babbage, who like we'd pointed out is a real threat in this game, hits the bar as well, and you're like, oh no, we are living off it here. I don't know what you guys thought. I thought there should have been subs made a lot earlier than there was.
I just think with the nature of the game, he's maybe just, it's not been the same, you know, we maybe changed three and then two later, he's just kind of drip feeding the substitutions, eh? It wasn't quite the same kind of.
John McGlynn's normally, he's the man at like 60 minutes, it's like sub time. But I don't know if it was just like, let's just, you know, keep going and push these guys because we're settled in what we are now. But I thought, oh God, I'm sounding like a broken record in this podcast. I thought it was a game for Agyeman to come in and run into the channels, hold the ball up, you know, be that kind of outlet, which Ross, because I thought Ross had run his race very, very quickly. And I thought, do you know what? Why not just put Agyeman up through the middle? Because he'll take two men with him every time. You know, because he's that kind of player, and he'll run down into the channels, he'll hold up the ball, and he'll do what Alfie does. And we saw that when he came off the bench and almost scored with his first touch.
He was a nuisance again yesterday when he came on. He really was. And as you say, he could have got a goal. I agree with you. I thought even five more minutes earlier, we could we have won it. I think if we'd made the changes slightly earlier, I think we could maybe have went on and won it, because Ethan Ross and Big Alfie are a handful for teams.
It was very unusual, for especially when you're down for 10 men, because John normally does kind of 60, 65 minutes is usual sub. But what was it until 83 minutes that both Alfie and Ethan that came off the bench? Obviously, we had the earlier substitution with Leon McCann having to come on. Were you surprised actually going back to that, Malky, that they took Calvin, or did you think it was just the knock that he took? I don't know if any of you boys got to speak to him and Alex after the game.
No, I didn't speak to him, so I don't know. Just somebody had to come off. It was Calvin.
He was holding his back or his side. It looked at like it from when we saw.
He had fell at one point.
He came up when we were right in front of the bench. He was kind of cold coming up to John McGlynn and holding his side. So I don't know if there was even like, right, well, we won't risk Calvin, and it probably makes sense if we have to make a sub, we'll take a man off that might have to come off anyway. Because Calvin Miller obviously had scored the goal, and you think, you know, he could be a guy that stretched the game.
It's a good shout out, John. I think it could well have been a knock related, because it was probably harsh on anyone who was going to get subbed after 17 minutes. But then when you think about what the alternative probably was, he was never really going to drop Nesbitt in the hole. Morrison, you just wouldn't drop. Big McKeever.
Spencer or Tate, Spencer or Tate, yeah.
You want to hold on to the midfield if you've got a centre-half down as well, you know. But it was always going to be tough. But I just think that was one of the it was one of our, this is going to sound odd, but I thought it was just one of our best second half performances all season, because we just had to do something completely different. As Malky said earlier on, it was completely different to what we normally have to do, and we did it so, so well.
Who all thought that Tidzer was going to score that last kick of the ball?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I thought, oh no.
Can we just talk about the ref though? Right, sending off aside, see if you take away the sending off. I thought this guy was hopeless.
I can tell you how hopeless it was. The point when he came over to the bench, right, and he told them all to sit down. I'm like, what rule are they breaking by standing up? He'd sent them all into the dugout. And I'm like, right, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know the IFAB rules inside out, but surely you can't tell people to... Because they went in both benches and said, go and sit, all sit down into the dugout.
Do you know what I heard after the game? I heard that, see, because there was hardly any Premiership games on at the weekend, I heard there was some of the sort of upper tier grade ones were reffing earlier, like lower in leagues than they would normally would, right? Do you reckon this guy's just thought, League One game, this is beneath me, I'm just going to
I'll tell you exactly who the referee was. It was Grant Irvin, who actually does do Premiership games normally. Grant Irvin's usually, I think he kind of flits between the Championship and the Premiership, this guy. But he was terrible. I thought the League One and League Two officials were bad, but he was just terrible.
I'm glad you mentioned him first, because I always thought it was going to be me that was bringing it up. But I just felt we couldn't get a 50-50 decision out of him as the game went on.
Like you say, Malky, the last 10 minutes, there was some incredible decisions. You're just going, what?
Do you think he had Kelly on his coupon? I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. But genuinely, like, what was this guy's intentions in the last 10, 15 minutes? Every arm was going towards their goal.
It was ridiculous. And I mean, luckily, and when that free kick, and it was, I have to say, that kick, free kick in the last kick of the ball probably was a free kick, but when Michael Tidzer stood up, you just thought, oh no, it's going to be, in a true Falkirk way, I think, ex-player who got a bit of stick from supporters, he's just going to stand up and stroke in. But I cheered so much when he blasted it over the bar. It was brilliant.
He's going to typify Tidzer's time at the club, to be honest.
That's very true. But that was the last kick of the ball, and I have never cheered a draw as much.
Yeah.
Totally. It's amazing. Don't you think, though? I'm just like, see if we'd been maybe beaten earlier on in the season. Like, because I can just see, maybe it's just me. And Ross, you've said it all along, we're going to be our own downfall. And I thought yesterday we're going to be, I had your words in my head all day yesterday, saying, well, the only team that will beat us this season will be ourselves. And I thought, oh, Ross is right. We've had Cole sent off. We've had Leon stick one in the back of the net. And I'm just like, oh, no. And then Tids are stepping up at the end. And I'm just like, oh, no.
What a feeling at the end. And it felt like a win to me, just as to how everything was against us. I don't know, Leila, what were you feeling in the Kevin McAllister stand?
I was just glad that we never lost any more goals.
Absolutely. And how good was, just as talking about the Kevin McAllister, how good were the ultras and stuff?
By the way, incredible again yesterday. Even when we were down to 10 men, when we were going, you know, when we were, you know, and conceding those goals, they just kept going. They just were relentless yesterday. So, again, brilliant. And God almighty, the main stand was up singing the Navy Blue at one point, the whole main stand. I thought, what's going on here?
As was the board, by the way, when you looked over your right shoulder.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Leading the charge, chanting that. But it was incredible. And, like, I think it goes down as one of the results of the season. I think you're right, Ross, and that second half performance defensively, it was a different Falkirk, and we had to be a different Falkirk from the Falkirk that we were used to. And it was an incredible team performance yesterday. Absolutely, to a man, they ran their socks off, you know, and for the makeshift defence, you know, for Hendo and Sean to do what they did. At one point, Hendo was strolling about like he was in midfield, coming forward with that ball at points, and I had my heart in my mouth at points. I was like, Hendo, what are you doing? But, listen, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't. It's fine. But, what a feeling to get that final whistle. And we remain invincible. Two more to go. Two more to go. Come on, let's do it. Oh, you know what's going to happen? No, I'm not even going to say what
don't
I think is going to happen.
Don't say it.
I don't know. I'm delighted Aloha are in third. That's all I'll say. Next week, we'll talk about in a wee minute, I think is the bigger test, because I think come trophy day, Aloha confirmed third, might rest players for the playoff, but then they might have players that are trying to get into the playoff team. Sometimes just wish we had lost the game earlier on in the season. I wouldn't be feeling this stress that I am just now. Anyway. Right. Do you want to guess what the possession was, by the way? Just when we're talking about, I've got the possession stats up.
My guess would be close to 50-50, which is unnormal, which is not normal for us.
You would be just about spot on. It was 51% to Falkirk, to 49% to Kelly.
There you go.
Yeah. And as we know, Kelty, in terms of chances, they had a lot more chances than we did, you know, in hitting the bar and clearing off the line. I mean, Kelty will be absolutely gutted not to have walked away for that game for 3 points, because they probably deserved it. But what a team performance. What a team. Love it. Absolutely love it. Right, listen, let's hear from the man, one of the men behind that result. I don't know what's happening to John McGlynn these days, but I think he's just given Paul Smith. So Paul Smith spoke to Falkirk TV after the game. Let's hear what he had to say.
Paul, a pretty crazy game of football. Probably a sense of relief at the full-time whistle just to keep that run going.
Very eventful day. I thought we started the game really well. We got, you know, obviously a good goal from Calvin Miller, and we looked, you know, settled in the game and looked to kick on from there. But obviously sending off and whatever it was, 18th, 20th minute, obviously was going to put us under huge pressure for there. And then we've obviously given away an own goal from there, made it 1-1. But I thought, scored a good second goal and unfortunately didn't defend well enough for, 5 minutes and let them score, a minute or 2 minutes after we had scored 2-2. Over the course, we're absolutely delighted to keep the unbeaten record going.
And probably credit to the defence after the point it was 2-2 to hold on for the rest of the game as well, because I think some of the boys looked dead on their feet out there.
Not the defence, our team performance. You look at our wide players, Aidan Nisbet, Callum Morrison, getting tracking back and helping out the full-backs, Brad Spencer, Dylan Tate in the middle of the park, Ross McIver dropping in. So it was a full, a fantastic team performance, great character shown by the players, great mentality again, and we're delighted, as I say, to keep that unbeaten record.
You mentioned Aidan Nisbet, who I think was our match sponsor's man of the match. A testament to how well he's done today and for the whole season. He's kind of been forced to go into a deeper position that he's not really used to, and he still managed to kind of put in a performance like that.
Yeah, well, obviously with Cole getting sent off, we had to bring Leo McCann into left back and shuffle Sean over in the centre back from there. Calvin Miller was feeling his back a wee bit, so that made the option there. It was an easy option to take Calvin off from there. Nizzy's gone out into that wide area, which we know he can play, but again, you get fed up seeing it about Nizzy's work rate. It's every week. We spoke about it last week, about the work rate he puts in. He's probably done 13k again today, but as I say, it wasn't one player today, it was the full squad again getting us over the line.
There you go, lots of seagulls in the background as well. Paul, like we've been saying, team performance, it really was, Ross.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he's confirmed what you said there about Calvin Miller having a bit of a pull. So, yeah, that makes sense why he's been taken off.
Hopefully Cal is fit for next week. A resident Stattle, before we get into your views, has been in touch. Donald, thank you very much, as ever, for all the attendance geeks out there. Assuming that 7,000 happens for the final game, that will give us an average attendance this season of 4,750, which is a home support of 4,630 and away support of averaging 120. Next season, estimated average away support could be 520 per game. So if we can maintain current home numbers, we could average around 5,200 next season. In terms of Falkirk only support, I believe this season is our best season since we were in the SPL 2009-2010, but could be even our best since 95-96, 28 years ago. Difficulty in SPL is identifying away support numbers, as we didn't separate them back then. So there you go. Brilliant support from the whole town, and long may it continue next season as well. So thank you, Donald, a resident Statoil, for that fact. Right, let's hear from the supporters. At some point, Layla, we might have to say earmuffs, at which point there will be a swear word, okay? So, right, let's kick off with Craig. That is as bad a refereeing performance as you'll see. Fair play to the lads, a totally different performance required. If we didn't get the red card, we'd have thumped them.
Totally agree. Scott says, happily take the draw and for the unbeaten run to continue. Nervous for next week, though, with Donaldson and Lang both out. Hendo and Mackie will have a big job on their hands.
Yeah, it's going to be a big, big game next week. Ultra 1876, earmuffs, please, Layla. The ref had a shocker. He was, earmuffs, Layla. Pish. Surprised, you can cut it off there. You've heard your dad say worse, let's face it, eh? Surprised he'd not just give them a pen. Nicky had a great game. Either him, Nizzy, or man of the match. The Navy Blue steamroller trundles on. It's went from a juggernaut to a steamroller now, Ross.
Love it, love it. That could be this week's title, I suppose, as well. Paul says, ref struggled today. That's saying it mildly. And some decisions were absolutely baffling. Great to have Hendo back, though. The Ultras were different class today. Nice, solid performance, particularly in the second half. Nesbitt was great again, and Tate gets better every time I see him. Lots of positives.
Oh, announced Dylan Tate is signed for next season. I don't think they're going to be able to do that till the start of next season with the Hibs situation, though, but... Mm. I'd love to happen. Sandy says, great point today with 10 men. However, the own goal was a worry. Just punt it up the park. Support were the 11th man today. The Ultras ensured everyone got behind the boys.
As you said as well, though, Malky and Lila, it's not often that you see the men stand up and singing and getting
involved. That was excellent to see. Yeah, it must have been in the middle of the second half. Aye, fantastic. Aye.
It was.
It must have been Ross Wayne's influence as well. You know, the one man band in the main stand. You must have started at Ross in the main stand.
I'm not sure I did actually. No, I think I genuinely think it's like the fans are just like this connection this season's just been brilliant. I think it's the best I've ever felt it between the team and the fans. It really is. Martin says, well disciplined, and the players, starters and finishers, what a shift they put in. Even with 10 men, we had fantastic chances to win that game outright, and a point was the least that we deserved for the efforts.
Yeah, John says, unfortunately, it was a red card, although Donaldson was going for the ball. The fight and desire to make sure we didn't lose was outstanding. Thought Nizzy was brilliant, particularly down the left side in that second half, helping the defence. Proud to be a Bairn.
Indeed. Cliff says, felt like a win. Battling performance. A bit shoddy in possession from defence. However, Nesbitt was awesome, but the cards were stacked from the sending off, and we've got to be happy with the draw.
Yep. Caroline says, the draw... that was a win, with our Ultras ensuring we had the 11th man covered.
Indeed. James says, it's great getting the 5-0 or indeed 7-1 wins, but this is the kind of performance that shows why Falkirk deserved to win the league. Nisbet must have covered 24 miles trying to make up for the lost man, i.e. big call, shouldn't have been sent off anyway. It should have been a yellow.
I don't think James might have seen the footage by now, and I think he might have changed that. But it's getting higher and higher for Nisbet's mileage by the time this podcast ended. He'll have ran 100 miles that yesterday. And SB Offshore finishes off by saying, Bairns 2, ref 2. Right, let's go for our Falkirk Daft rated player of the game. Who was it for you, Layla?
I think probably McKeever, actually.
Do you know the song, Layla?
Oh, it's too long.
Malky, what about you?
I tend to say yesterday, Nisbet, probably aye. Yeah. Just for the aye.
Ross Wayne.
120 miles they covered.
120 miles, yeah. Ross Wayne.
Listen, totally agree with Malky. That 1,000 miles that he ran yesterday was just outstanding. More than deserved it.
The fact he ran the length of Britain, it has to be Aidan Nesbitt for me yesterday. You know, that John O'Groats, the Land's End run was incredible. So, yeah, Aidan Nesbitt for me. So, Aidan Nesbitt gets it. Right, Falkirk Dafty. I think I'm only going one place for this. But, Layla, who was your Falkirk Dafty? You're too nicely to give us a Falkirk Dafty, aren't you?
I don't know.
That's okay, your dad will take care of this one. Malky?
Oh, I think you're between Donaldson and McCann here, eh? Yeah. Maybe for the own goal. I'll say McCann.
Ross?
Do you know, I was thinking I was going to say McCann, right? But seeing my work, I have to think about like root cause analysis. And I'm going to say it. Donaldson doesn't get sent off. He doesn't put McCann in that position. So I'm going to say Donaldson.
I wouldn't have been on the park.
Yeah, I see what you're doing there, but I'm going to go against you. I'm going to go for McCann as well, because Donaldson at least went, you know, if Donaldson hadn't went for that ball, you'd have been shouting because he didn't go for a 50-50 challenge, right? So I'm going to have to go for Leon, and I love Leon to bits, but look up before you pass a ball, you know, just have a wee glance up, or just boot it up the park. There's several chances, as Malky said, to do that, and we didn't do it at all. So, Leon, I'm sorry. Your goal's going to come, though. I've got a good feeling he's going to make up for it at Annan. It's going to be an absolute worldie at Annan. So, come on, Leon. But, unfortunately, you're my Falkirk Dafty of the week. So, Leon gets it. Right, that's it for... Kelty, and it's on to Annan, which we'll talk about in a minute. But we've got to say thanks very much to our guest pundits this week, Malky and Leo. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you. Thanks very much for asking, and keep up the good work with the show. It's a bit quality content, keeps us going through the week. So yeah,
I'm glad you enjoy it. I'm glad. I hope you don't listen to the explicit ones, Leila.
That's almost all of them, then.
That's almost all of them. And I apologise profusely because most of it's from me as well. Right. But if you want to be like Malky and Leila, and come on, next season now, Ross, it's going to be, isn't it? Because we're running it. We've got two more shows to maybe three. We might do a season roundup. But if you want to be a guest pundit, please drop us an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk, or you can slide into our DMs. You can do that on Twitter or Facebook.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Right, Kelty is done. Two more to go. Two more to go, Ross. I think next week is really tough. Looking at the table, I think next week, I think Alloa will take care of itself. I think they'll rest players. I think they'll be quite happy. I think next week is a totally different game. Annan have really picked up form in the last week. Well, at one point they were absolutely gone. They were absolutely doomed. But now they're fighting down there with Queen of the South and Stirling for that last playoff place. They're currently on 37. Stirling are currently on 35. The two teams have got to play each other in the last game of the season, which could be a big fight out. So... that. Yeah. It's going to be a fight no matter. So if we go out, if Stirling say win at the weekend, but Annan at the weekend have the chance to basically, if they get a win, they're safe.
They're safe. So they'll be at it. Annan will be very.
And actually, if they get if they get a draw, the goal difference is going to be probably, there's going to have to be a 5 or 6 goal swing in the last game of the season.
A draw is probably good for them. And if I'm being honest, I'd take a draw then.
You just give me that draw right now, baby. I'll snap your hand off. Come on, give me the draw right now. We saw in the last game, that last minute goal, which was a bit of a nightmare. But Annan have caused us troubles, and certainly physically, I've talked about them for all season. Like Tommy Goss, the man mountain that is Tommy Goss up front, and they're a big, physical, strong team. And with the lack of Tam and Call, I'm slightly worried at set pieces, especially.
We've still got height. We do still have height, but
thank God Hendo's back.
Yeah, Hendo's back as well, which is good. Listen, I just as you've said earlier, I've said it a few times this year. I think if we bring our A game. I don't think it will matter whether Annan are up for it or not. We are a far, far better team than Annan, right? And we've obviously, because we've shown that. But even with them desperate for a point or three, if we turn up on with a A game, we will beat them on Saturday. There'll be a big, noisy Falkirk crowd down there as well. There might be a big home crowd, and I hope there is. I genuinely hope there is, because you love to see it. But I just think if we bring our A game, I think we'll dispose of them. I'm not saying it'll be like 4-5-0. I'm not saying that, but I think we do have more than enough to beat them on Saturday coming.
Yeah, can we just like shake hands, say, we'll just go with a draw, and that leaves them on 38 points. If Stirling were to win on Saturday, who have Stirling got on Saturday? That's an interesting question down there. Let's have a quick Google, see who Stirling have got on Saturday. Because if it's a tough game for them, Stirling Albion have got... they've got Edinburgh. Oh, no!
Have they? Is that who? But then Edinburgh's just... oh, no, they got beat yesterday. I was waiting to say.
Yeah. So Edinburgh's... Edinburgh's probably a win for them, which means, oh no, and they're going to be right at it. They're going to be right at it because they know a win against us.
But listen, it is Annan. Let's remember, they're not Real Madrid.
No, I know they're not Real Madrid. Like you say, my worry is the lack of physicality we're going to have. Uh-huh. You know, because we've seen how big and like, physical they are. They will be set pieces, corners, punt the ball up, get the ball in the box like they did to get, obviously, the last-minute winner against us at the stadium. Yeah. It's going to be a tough, tough game, especially with our lack of physicality. You know, with, you know, Cole out, you suddenly lose that height and presence. Tam as well, being out as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. It is going to be really, really tough. But like you say, what we do have is big threats going forward. The only problem is at Ainslie Park, is one of the tightest grounds in the league. Sorry, not Ainslie Park, Gallabank,
yeah.
It's one of the tightest grounds in the league. So our natural go-tos, your Millers and your Morrisons, hopefully not as fit for that, actually, that kind of is locked down a wee bit more because of the size of the park. Yeah. So that worries me as well. We won't be able to stretch the game in the way we normally do.
I actually think we just need to do what we did in December, John, which is, if you think about back to, I think it was the first goal, so big call, when he literally just ran with the ball, and then he struck it from about 25 yards, and it went in. I think we just need to be direct as hell, shoot when we get an option to do so. Like, even if think back to yesterday, and Morrison, one-on-one, you expect him to wait on.
We didn't even talk about that chance, by the way, when he went down.
Like, yeah, I expect him to finish that, and I'm sure 19.
He was looking for the contact, and the penalty is what he was looking for.
Yeah, probably, yeah. But I think we go direct. We do. You're right. And listen, John McGlynn doesn't leave things like this to chance. He will be all over it. I was speaking to some of the match sponsors yesterday, who had been invited to a breakfast thing with John and Paul, and they learned what they go through in advance of a game. They leave nothing for chance. So John McGlynn will have them all over this ahead of the Annan game on Saturday.
They have had players that have impressed me, Annan. I think the boy Doherty in midfield's decent. I've talked about Tommy Goss, the man mounted as Tommy Goss as well. Aidan Smith, he's on 10 goals for the season as well. So they have got good players in there, but like you say, we've got better players. It's just... can just go and, you know, against that very physical team, just go and play around them.
Yeah.
Snap your hand off right now for the draw. Absolutely. Yeah,
me too. I'll maybe say differently on Saturday because we've got a very early start on Saturday with the buses leaving Elliot's.
What time are you leaving on the bus?
But Brian's got two buses leaving Elliot's at 9:15.
Jesus God almighty. It's only an hour and a half down the road.
I know. Yeah, I know. So it's going to be, I will say differently, come kickoff, I'll be like, come on, 7-0.
I'm sure you will.
Just now, it will be, I'll take a scoring draw.
A scoring draw. That was the last time we played them at the stadium. It was obviously the 1-1 with the last minute goal. 3-0 in the last two times we've beaten them head to head overall. They actually haven't beat us yet. 3-1s for Falkirk, 1-1. Which obviously got the last time we played them. So that's the head-to-head we've got against Annan. Mm. It will be interesting to see what happens. But what do you think the score will be at Ross Wayne?
I think we will win. a draw will be fine, but I think we'll win. So I'm going to say 3-1 to Falkirk.
3-1 to Falkirk. I am going for our similar score to what was at the stadium. I'm going to take, hopefully, the 1-1, though I've got that absolute fear. 1-1. I'm just the panic merchant of this show. I'm honest. I'm just like, we're doomed. I'm like that boy for Dad's Army. I don't, just, oh, Fraser, isn't it? So I'll take the 1-1, we'll get back up to the stadium, and then I'll be on this podcast next week saying, we're not going to beat Owl. It's going to ruin trophy day.
I've already got this in my head next week that you are going to be saying this. So, but listen, it is what it is. We've had a brilliant year. We've had a brilliant season. But you're right. 2-2. We're nearly there.
2-2. So 1-1 from me, 3-1 from Ross. Let's see what score will be come Saturday down at Gala Bank.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that is it for Falkirk Daft this week. Thank you very much, as ever, for listening. Thank you very much to Layla and Malky for being our guest pundits. Remember, we're on Apple, we're on Spotify, Deezer, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast. You can even ask Alexa. You shout out, Alexa, play Falkirk Daft.
I can't find songs by Falkirk.
Right, okay, Alexa, shut up. Right, but generally it sometimes works. If you ask Alexa to play Falkirk, let's try that one again. Alexa, play the Falkirk Daft podcast.
Here's the Falkirk FC podcast.
No, not the Falkirk FC podcast. Shut up, Alexa. Shut up.
You can edit this part out if you want.
No, Alexa, shut up. You can't ask your Alexa. Probably just doesn't understand me. Anyway, you can ask your Alexa to do that as well. And you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And watch us on YouTube as well. You can definitely do that. Merch, get up. By the way, F and we whisper it, go invincible. I've got a belter of an idea for a t-shirt, which I'm going to put on our merch stand. If you want to get Falkirk Daft merch in the meantime, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Get kitted out if you come up behind the wall with your retro top, and there will be a chance to win Falkirk Daft merch at behind the wall. I can exclusively reveal that.
And
Captain's armband signed by Stephen McGinn.
Signed by Stephen McGinn.
All you big boys and girls, if you're coming on to behind the wall on the night, you get the chance to win Captain's armband. And we're doing, once again, if you were at the Fortress Brockville event, a visit to the big blue chair. So what your tales of debauchery, much in a Graham Norton style, and it doesn't have to be about Falkirk. It, you know, it'd be nice if it was about Falkirk Football Club, but if it's about sex or a tale of something that's happened in your life, you know, that one tale you go to down the pub, we'd love to hear that. And you want a captain's armband on the night behind the wall. Can't wait for that. It did go very well at last Fortress Brock. We've got some very good stories out of it. So we'll be doing that at Behind the Wall on the night, and looking forward to that as well. Hopefully on the precipice of being invincible as well. Right, okay, join the Discord chat. I never talk about that enough as well. Loads of people are chatting in the Discord chat. There's lots of rumours going on, by the way, in the Discord chat just now that we're signing Michael McKenna from Arbroath for next season. Good signing, that would be very good sign. But that's the chat on the Discord. Get on there, all the links are below, as is the link to our wonderful sponsors, the Falkirk Football Fans and Training. Get on to the Lava Cup, join the Falkirk Football Fans and Training, and then maybe you could be playing on the 1st of June as the Falkirk Daft team absolutely scalp them. There we go. Right, that's it for the show. Thank you very much for listening. Ross, have you got anything you would like to add at this juncture?
Just expect unexpected, but I keep going there.
As per usual, I'm away for a glass of wine.